The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwing Out, episode 584. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
You see everything. Carlos Romero. Yo, yo, yo. Brett Murdoch. Oh, say that again, dude.
What up, bitches?
There you are. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
Hold on, Carlos, can you hear us now?
Yes.
There you go. You may have to raise your volume up a little bit. And, of course, Brian Manjoma.
What up?
Nice and clear. All right. Back with another one. Hopefully, we'll get Chris in because he did promise us financials, people. So you will get charts if Chris shows up. Carlos, there's no more storms on there, right? In Texas happening? That we need to know about?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah. You sounded good.
It ended like a couple. Yeah, I just fixed it exactly right now. No, not any storms that I know of.
Yeah. Shout out to Barry Burton. Shout out to D81 Cash. I like that name, 81 Cash. You know, good stuff. It's all about that money. All right, so I call this episode another grab bag episode. I wouldn't say anything monumental happened, although there was a lot of stupidity if you've been keeping up with the whole mixtape controversy. We're not going to get into that. And there's Chris. Perfect. Yeah, Chris, I will let the people know right halfway through. We're going to get into them charts, baby. It's going to be fun. But yeah, so we'll go through it. First story we're going to talk about, Forza Horizon 6 reviews have gone live, and the game is a hit among reviewers. 10s out of 10s everywhere. You know, highly anticipated game, takes place in Tokyo this time. Bro, I saw mechs. I'm like, I'm done. I got to play this fucking game. That was it. You
Wait,
know?
What?
What's up?
It's got mechs?
Oh, yeah. You could race against mechs.
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah. I thought somebody was doing some AI shit. And I talked to my manager, you know, because I hadn't seen his review yet. And I was like, yo, like, is this in the game? He's like, it's the featured image for my article. You know?
And it just so happens.
Hey, there we go. Shout out to Tom's Guide. Shout out to Jason England, you know, or England, I should say. It's kind of funny. That would be like me called Tony America, you know, very interesting.
Or Tony
Dominican Republica. You know, but yeah. So my thing is like, you better throw some kaiju in this bitch if we're going to go full Japan, you know, like. So yeah, Carlos, you know, what are your thoughts on you know, the reception Forza is getting? I know you're hyped for this game.
So I apparently not enough because I didn't know there were mechs in this game, but damn. I did see the review scores, and it's exactly what I was expecting. I mean, Forza Horizon is a beloved franchise, and I feel like they can't really do no wrong. They've made a great game ever since they started making these, so I'm not at all surprised. But yeah, I'm excited to play it. I just thought that I was going to be playing, you know, around Japan, maybe do some Tokyo Drift, but I wasn't expecting mechs.
They got mechs.
They got mechs, but like you said, man, they bring out the kaijus. Go full Japan, you know?
I want to see the mechs fighting the kaiju.
Oh, man.
While you're racing, you know?
There's damage in this game, so you never know.
That is true, yeah. But obviously, you know, because no game, even a racing game, can go without controversy. There's controversy. Because, you know, because of the high scores, everybody was paid off, bunch of shills. And I'm like, can you guys get new material? It's a Forza game. They always get good scores, you know? But, you know, we're living in this time period where sometimes it is justified, you know, to call out some of these reviews. But not this one. It's Forza, bro. You know what you're getting. And this time they have mechs. How could you go wrong with that, you know? Rich, what are your thoughts on some of the coverage you've seen?
Well, I think our very good friend Carlos Romero, he made an excellent point when he said this is exactly what we expected. I mean, those of us that have been playing Forza Horizon, we already know this is what Playground does. They are the best at making these type of racing games. So I'm not surprised that it got the glowing reviews. I do think that I've seen some people online now all of a sudden say, oh, so this Fable game they're working on is going to be amazing. And I would not say that yet, because that is a different type of game compared to a racing game. But I will say, yes, we know how great the studio is when it comes to doing racing games. So I'm not surprised, and I look forward to checking it out for sure as soon as possible.
Yeah, right now I'm watching the video. The mech really reminds me of a Pat Labor, for you guys who have seen that.
I thought it was a Macross.
A little bit, yeah. It has a little bit of everything in it, you know? But what kind of makes it Pat Labor to me is the head. Although you could also say Appleseed as well, right? You could tell it's just like your kind of like stereotypical mech. It looks fucking awesome. Look at this. This game looks fucking pretty. I don't think it's available on PS5 yet, but will be eventually, I'm assuming. So that'll be interesting. What's up, Rich? So can you tell us about the PS6 version? Oh, PS6, PS5 version? You know, when that's supposed to be dropping? I'm already thinking about the future, you know?
They did not really give a response to that. I guess sometime later this year is when it would drop. I do, however, want to make a comment, because you said there were people complaining about the score.
Yeah.
I don't think these people are too informed about the history of this series, because these games have always been getting high scores, and they want to find something to complain about, which I think is hilarious. But no, I know it deserves the high praise. But now let's see about Fable. Let's see what happens with Fable, because that's the project. That they have spent a lot of time on, more time than this game, and that's the one that people, like our very good friend Carlos, is very excited to check out as well. So,
Rich, and I find it interesting you mentioned people complaining. The only part of the score that I feel like people should complain about is if this game doesn't have the Tokyo Drift song.
Yeah, right.
it needs that song. You know, they need that song. That's funny. And also, IGN. Apparently gave this a 10?
Yeah, IGN. Yeah. Right? So this game is as good. This game is, this game is as good as a mixtape, bro.
Oh, there you go.
Amazing. Yes, amazing.
Oh, man.
And I will make this quick comment, since you brought up the review scores. I look forward to seeing IGN give that 007 game a seven out of 10, because
yes,
that's exactly what I'm expecting them to do. But stay tuned.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts on what you've seen about Forza? Because I know you're a big racing guy as well.
It sounds good, but it sounds like they've just hit it out of the park again. But also, I think this might, again, this is 100% conspiracy theory levels. Uh-oh. I'm trying to guess where it should be. It's not quite tinfoil hats. I guess
tinfoil,
I'll go with
tinfoil headband.
Yeah, I love the headband. Like, it's just enough to be visible, but not overpowering. I think there's lots of people that are liking it because it's just set in Japan rather than it being a good Forza game. Because I know that you've all seen that meme where it's like, there's a thing, it's okay, but then the thing is Japanese and suddenly everyone likes it a lot more. So that's what I think is going on. Again, I have no proof. I've not played the game. I've not seen anything about it. But that's my initial thought, because the last game didn't get this much reception, or did it? And I just missed it.
Yeah. I mean, it was getting a lot of like buzz beforehand. Go ahead, Rich, if you can answer that.
I think that Brian is 1,000% correct. Well, the last one didn't get a 10. I mean, maybe it got a 9 or so, but that's a very good point. We need to investigate this further to see what the deal is.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna just say Brian's right. Fuck that, because that's the reason I want to play it. I'm gonna be honest, because it's set in Japan. You know, that's a big selling point. So, Brian, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. Maybe it's a conspiracy earring. You know, visible but not too big. You know. Because I think a lot of people are just, and you know, obviously, a bunch of nerds playing it. They love Japan. Makes sense to me. But it's, so you couple that with the, you know, with the great gameplay that you get from Forza Horizon games and mechs. What's up, dude?
Who told you nerds love Japan?
Nerds.
It's an open secret. We're not supposed to talk about that.
Nerds have told me by their actions. Oh man, that's funny.
Well, don't let the rest of them know.
Yeah, don't let them know. All our secrets are out now.
We'll see what the sugary bear says about this game. If he likes it, then
the
I think he might. By the way,
no. The secret is it can't be made by Japan. That's where. So if the game takes place in Japan and is made by a Western, you get some decent rating. If you do the opposite, if it's a Japanese game that is, you know, takes place in and, you know, possibly has mechs and all these other things, then they will get pushback for saying the game is not realistic enough.
Oh,
or
shit.
The robots don't make any sense.
Damn. That's real shit. Good point. Yeah. That's some real shit. You know, by the way, when the hell was the last big Japanese racing game?
Gran Turismo.
That is true. Yes. Is that the only one that's left? Remember back in the day, Sega was cranking them out.
Sega and Namco used to be mm-hmm. the contenders.
Gran Turismo was like the only one.
They both made the arcade racers, right? Those guys, you know, Sega and Namco, they arcade race. And then, you know, Polyphony made the more simulation title.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think it is just Gran Turismo.
Yeah, it's Gran Turismo. Now, if they put fucking mechs into Gran Turismo, people would get pretty pissed about that one.
Yeah, well, you know, at least that one's, because it's supposed to, quote unquote, be realistic, you know? Forza Horizon, they've already gone crazy. They've had, like, Halo shit in there, you know?
But, I mean, the other one, Forza Motorsport. So now if they did
that, yeah, people would not like that, yeah.
Motorsport, then they'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's because Horizon series is just fun, you know? All right, good stuff there. So we'll move on. This one's made by Eastern Studios. Shift Up has announced that it will publish Stellar Blade 2 on its own. They're not doing it through Sony.
They essentially got all of it. Like they just had the they did the publishing through them initially, thanks to a certain Shida.
You know.
So and now they're on their feet enough to where they could publish their own titles. Good shit.
Yeah, and they said they want to make sure they reach a global audience day one. So that means no exclusivity. They want it on everything.
Yep. They're, so it's going to be on your Xboxes. It's going to be your PC version.
Yep.
All that stuff.
And
but I would think though that sort of, you know, I think that it's great what they did, but I think, you know, just to do it all at once. But I do think that the momentum of having it on another, you know, initially, you know, gaining momentum on one thing and then moving it to other thing also helped it a little bit too.
For this game, it did, because there's instances where, let's just be honest, there's other Sony games that come on PC and they don't sell nearly as well because the momentum has already died out.
But yeah, the thing is that the momentum dies out because they're still so far away from when they finally do the PC release. Like, I mean, what was it? Shift Up was only like a year later?
May have been less.
And it was like less than a year, right? Or a year. And then they were still bolstering it with DLC. They were throwing all kinds of crazy outfits on her. They had all kinds of stuff in between that point. So it was still on that uptick. I feel like, you know, by the time you get, you know, folks get stuff on PC for PlayStation, it's already run its course. It's already, they're not really throwing any more DLC at it. They're just,
okay, like, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
And I'm going to throw another stipulation. It's a game people are actually genuinely excited about. I'm sorry, but no PC gamers didn't care about Spider-Man 2. They didn't care about God of War Ragnarok. They didn't care about Horizon Forbidden West. They wanted motherfucking Stellar Blade on PC.
I think if it was closer to the to release, maybe it would have been
Remember all those games I just mentioned also didn't do as well as the previous ones on PlayStation itself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you're right. It was still in the public conscious. When it came to PC, it hadn't been forgotten. And again, it was a game that PC gamers like, we want that game. You didn't hear PC gamers screaming about those other PlayStation sequels, you know?
I mean, people were like screaming about the previous Spider-Man game.
Yes. So, that first one, but, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good on them. And again, they want to make it multi-platform. And apparently, they also want to bring the first game to other platforms. So I'm assuming that's Xbox. I think that's the last one.
Yeah, Xbox is, yeah, it would be Xbox and Switch, right?
Yeah, yeah, it would be Switch 2. That would be interesting, mm-hmm. you know? Sorry for the yawning, but your boy's tired. I had a fucking week, bro. I had a week, you know? But yeah, that's good stuff right there. So we don't know when this game's going to come out, obviously, but Stellar Blade is a fantastic game, phenomenal game even. So I'm looking forward to it. And the subsequent controversy, because of course there's going to be controversy. There always is, man. All right, next up. This one's kind of heartbreaking. And of course, the fucking page won't reload. Mercury Steam has suffered layoffs. The Metroid Dread developers. Mm-hmm. It's another... Well, it's like we talk about this every week now, basically. You know? But I'm just glad they weren't completely closed. You know?
Yeah. Also, I wanted to bring up the thing where people were going to say, "Oh, it's a Nintendo studio that's getting layoffs." They are not a Nintendo studio; they are a separate zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Still, you know, the statement with that still exists.
Yeah, no, I know. I see people are saying that, but it's stupid. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's not a good thing. And I'm not saying this as someone who is a fan of the studio. They, you know, they do some good stuff here and there, but they also did Lords of Shadow, which again we don't like. But we don't. But that's not a reason to like gloat. You know, I'm saying like, no, that's not good.
No, I mean, losing their jobs. They, you know, like everybody can have a thing. Like it's like the Lords of Shadow 2 like platformer game that they did after that was actually quite good. It was,
yes, right.
It was a sort of continuation of that sort of world, but you know, like I just feel like, you know, at least when it came to Lords of Shadow, I feel like they didn't hit that mark. But I mean, they made that last Metroid game that people enjoyed. Well, you know,
yeah, Dread was great.
So, but I think
Samus Returns.
Samus
Returns thing. But I think, you know, maybe the one with this one is that also this game had a lot of controversy on top of it too that pushed gamers away, right? Weren't they like putting like content onto amiibos that you couldn't get, you couldn't play in the game normally? Like the music, like the open world section, it was all locked to the amiibos. You could have music like in those levels for that. And there was a bunch of other stinky things. Chris, I remember you talking about that.
Was that Prime or was that Dread?
That's Metroid Prime 4 has.
Oh, okay.
That's amiibos, not Dread.
Oh, okay. It wasn't Dread. Okay. So,
Chris, have any thoughts on this? On the Mercury Steam?
Well, it said, you know, these studios are kind of collapsing. Yeah, you're right. We do report about all the bleeding from Western studios every week. It's either studios closing and hundreds of jobs are wiped out, or a big publisher, you know, Microsoft, EA, Activision, take your pick. It's just like, it just doesn't stop. And I'm not sure what happened internally at Mercury Steam, but they did have the Dread contract. I don't know, like, there's leaks that they were working on the next Metroid game, but that's rumor. Right, I don't know that for sure. I don't know what they were doing. So it's heartbreaking. It sucks. It's like the bleeding in at least in Western studios hasn't stopped.
Yeah, exactly. Carlos, what are you gonna say?
No, like the games they made, the Metro games at least. Most of us played them. I know at least Chris and Tony did.
Yeah,
myself. That's, and
yeah,
Metroid Dread is a great game. So it's sad to see that, you know, they're not seeing that as much success. Their whole entire staff filled. What's it called? And also found out that they're Spanish too, which is interesting. Yep.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Spain Spanish. Yeah, the motherland, so, Carlos.
So it's not Mercury Steam. It's Mercury Theme.
But that's funny. I mean, they make a lot of games for different publishers and stuff. I know they worked with Konami and then obviously Nintendo. So we'll see what they do after this. I think they made another game. I don't recall when it was after Dread. I recall.
Yeah, let me look this up real quick.
I wonder if that would be good.
Yeah, what you motherfuckers?
What you up to?
Yeah.
Mercury.
Here we go. Let's off some steam, Bennett.
yes.
So they
Blades
made
of Fire.
Blades of Fire, game of the year.
Yep.
Oh.
So right here, yeah, Blades of Fire is the last game that came out last year. 505 games. Oh, shit. not a I legit don't remember this fucking game.
Space yeah. Lords, Metroid Dread, American Space Lord, there's a game on 2021 was they did a remaster of an American McGee game.
Oh yeah, wow!
And they have Blades of Fire. Oh shit! This is the one with the guy that makes the swords, right?
I don't know. There's a lot of games
like that, you could. That no, describes.
That's correct.
The whole thing is he's like an ironsmith, and he makes all kinds of crazy swords.
Hmm. Yeah, that doesn't ring a bell.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm gonna say the one thing about this, and you know, I know some people did like this title.
Uh-oh.
It did look very generic.
Hmm.
Like you look at protagonist here, he's just Gennaro. He kind of looks like dude from Lord from what's his face from the Castlevania games.
Yeah.
Yeah,
holy shit,
he kind of looks like Gabriel Belmont.
Wow. He does. Yeah. And also, Manny, you were talking about generic. The name is generic.
Yeah, Blades of Fire. I mean, isn't that Kratos's blades?
No, that's
the Blades of Chaos.
Blades of Chaos, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's like it just feels like an elder. It may have had. I do remember seeing some crazy, you know, like definitely some Mercury sort of weirdity, like from like they even some of that stuff that they worked into Lords of Shadow. But yeah, I think this was them attempting to do another type of Lords of Shadow type of title, and it just didn't hit. So I feel bad that this didn't work out, but I also feel like they could have done better with this game too.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, there you go. Mercury Steam will, you know, hope, you know, they're still around, so that's a good thing, but we'll see what happens.
So slight tangent. This is a crazy thing that I saw, like, it's not related to this, but like, I noticed that the company that they made Hellblade, they put out like a financial report recently. Now, why would they do that?
What do you mean?
Ninja Theory put out, I saw you posting about it, but why did you
find that weird?
Because most of the first party studios of most of the companies that are out there don't put out their own financial reports. They're usually within whatever their parent company is, like Microsoft.
Oh, okay. So it would be like Bethesda putting out their financial report or something
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. Right? It's like Bethesda putting out. That's what's weird about this. It's like
that is interesting.
Ninja Theory is, and the previous year when Hellblade 2 came out, Ninja Theory did not put out any sort of financial information or how much they made on the title.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It seems a bit odd to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But it is a good segue because we're going to be doing financials right now, people.
Oh, financials.
Yes. You guys were patient, and Chris is not going to regale us with both Sony and Nintendo financials. But before we do that, not to sidetrack too much, Gene Park, you know, I love Gene Park, one of my favorite game journalists out there, but he just posted something I can't get behind, bro.
Uh-oh.
What did he say?
Listen, I love Kiss from a Rose, right? From, you know, Batman Forever. Great fucking song. That song alone, like, is like the best thing, right? But it was attached to a soundtrack. And there was one other song on that soundtrack. It had to be one of the worst songs ever made.
And Gene said, "U2 song?"
No, Manny. The Method Man song about the Riddler.
Oh,
and Gene Park is like, this song went hard. It's lived rent. He says, this is what he says. Method Man's Riddler has lived in my head rent-free for 31 years. Batman's Forever soundtrack went so hard. No. Only one song went hard. Only one song went hard. Not that fucking Riddler song. Gene, I love you, but no. Not the fucking Riddler. I still remember that post. Unfortunately, it has lived in my head rent-free too, but for the wrong reasons, you know? That and the fucking Puff Daddy, you know, come with me. Da-da-da, da-da-da, ripping off a Led Zeppelin, the Godzilla song, you know? Oh, my God. Anyway. Yeah, what's up?
Wait, wasn't that other the other stupid there was that other song, the U2 song. That song. Wasn't that probably on that album?
That was that was on the soundtrack.
That man. But you know that song. Yeah, I know. But listen, man, that new Batman, Lego Batman trailer has the Kiss from a Rose song. It's good stuff, man. Anyway, that's a nice sidetrack there. Chris, financial time, take it away. Why is why I'm watching a fucking video. Why is Method Man dressed like the Penguin? He wasn't even in that movie. Like, what is happening right now?
He's like, yo, I want to dress up like the Penguin.
Yeah, Batman, motherfucker. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so I'll start with Sony. So yes. Sony had their investor relations call, and overall the company, and remember, Sony's a big company in many segments, and I'll get into that before I talk about PlayStation specifically, but Sony posted about an $83 billion net sales, right? So up about 4% year over year for the whole company. You know, huge numbers, big operating income boost, about $9.6 billion. They're doing very well overall. If you can see the charts here, I always say this like every show, PlayStation is the biggest piece of the pie for Sony financials. Ever since I did them, they've had the majority. Lately, and the last like year or two, they've had even more so. Like usually, I remember when I started, it was maybe 26, 27%. So it's like one quarter, but it's a little more than one quarter. So it was a majority. So last year, it was about 37% of Sony's net sales comes from PlayStation. It's a significant number, right? It's more than a third. This year, it was a slight drop, small to 35.7. That's not a significant decrease. A lot of that came from decrease in hardware sales, and Sony's going to have a hard time with that. The price went up, sales dropped, and they are really lacking in first-party titles. Let's just be real about that. They have a lot of third-party support, and that's where a lot of their software sales came from. PlayStation sold a lot in digital and some physical on third-party. They call it non-first-party software, so that did very well for them. So overall, sales, if you look at the numbers from last year, 30.62 billion fiscal year ending last year. This year had a 1.53% increase, 31.09 billion. So they closed higher even with the loss of hardware sales, which they dropped significantly. I think I have supplemental. That's wrong supplemental. So here they explain their sales. They in their own words, essentially flat. So losing about 1.6%, not too bad. It's, they say essentially flat. That's for the investors. Like, hey, don't worry about it. Like 1.6%, not a significant drop. It's in the context of the entire company, it's not, but it has significance. But they saw a positive impact from foreign exchange rates. When you calculate this report, the yen, it's 152 yen to the dollar when I did these conversions.
Yeah.
So the yen is pretty rough right now, pretty low.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
So there's that boon for them in terms of like sales to Europe, sales to United States, North America, and all that stuff, and other regions because of the foreign exchange. So they accounted for an increase in sales from network services. Their Tony's favorite statistic, monthly active users.
Yes.
over last year. So they boasted 125 million monthly active users on actively on PlayStation Plus, which is a huge number. So PlayStation Plus is generating a tremendous amount of revenue for them. And they said increase in sales of non-first-party game software titles. So basically all the titles that are not theirs. But they're getting sales through digital and and there's a live service stuff. So that's where they're seeing a boon. And the only negative in here is the decrease in sales of hardware due to a decrease in unit sales. Yeah. Clearly PS5 sales are decreasing. And they have two problems. They have a lack of, they really have been missing on first party. And the biggest thing is the price. It's just the rent's too damn high. So they're not going to get past that this year. I don't see that improving. And when I get into their projections for the next year, you'll see that too. If you look at the operating income here, that operating income probably comes out to about $3.07 billion US dollars So 12% increase year over year. And they said positive impact, increase in sales from network services. So the PS Plus and DLC and all that stuff. Impact of foreign exchange rates, like I explained. So the negative here, and this is very interesting, recording of impairment loss against Bungie Inc.'s intangible and other assets. So when you look at this, fiscal year 25 total 120.1 billion yen, that's about 760 million US dollars. And what they're talking about, intangible assets, right? That's IP value. So that's when you record an impairment loss, it is how much Sony paid for Bungie versus what the IPs are valued at. So that is a significant loss of value. That's including Destiny and now Marathon. So they took a tremendous hit on these two IPs losing. They're losing users, right? Players. Marathon is basically flopping. And so they're kind of... they're kind of putting all their resources. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that's not going well in that respect, because Destiny players and Destiny 2 loyal players are kind of on the wayside. I mean, when's Destiny 2 had an update? Everything's going towards Marathon. So you have two angry sets. You have people who are not interested in the new game. People who love the old game, and the old game is not getting anything. So they're basically cannibalizing one to support the other. This is a unique thing. An impairment loss is a one-time deduction, right? So they're not including that for next year, but this is still significant because you're talking, that's a huge amount. That roughly is probably the budget of Marathon, really, when you think about it, 760 million. So that is a rough impact. And that, while that doesn't affect them for next year, that this is a significant thing this year, and they really have to think about what they're going to do going forward with Bungie, because they've said that they're going to continue to support Marathon with updates, but I don't see them having maybe they're hoping for a Rainbow Six Siege scenario where this game all of a sudden starts picking up steam later on. I don't see that happening, but you know, I don't know. Science point to know for me, but we'll see what happens this year. What the fate of Bungie is.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
It's financials. Would they also the deduction of essentially closing down a studio?
Well, there's impairments and stuff, but closing down a studio is not really a loss, right? Because there's all sorts of things that happen when you shutter, right? You're consolidating expenditures, right? So you don't have these employees anymore. You may sell off real estate, you sell off tangible assets, computers and whatnot. You know, there's all sorts of things that happen. And also, your shareholder value may go up, your share value may go up, because shareholders think, oh, you're being conservative or whatever. So it's not a cut and dry thing when you cut a studio, that it's like this loss. There's a lot of factors that go into it when it's balanced. And there's depreciation and amortization of assets. So that it counts in there, but it's kind of nebulous. Like, there's not one specific thing. I can't pull out one studio or anything from here and go, well, this is how it impacted Sony.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense. The Bungie one is the interesting one. I explained that to the people. It's like, it's not that they lost money. It's just like the company is valued less now than what they paid for originally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't personally see that changing. This impairment could carry into next year. They're not going to count it until they start generating revenue for the new fiscal year.
Yeah.
And they're not going to include all the way at the end. So next year, when we do throwdown next year, put together these reports, there could be another one of these. I don't know. Or in between there, you know, coming up to holiday, we could hear like Bungie's not a thing anymore. You know, we could be like, pour one out for Bungie. I don't know. I'm leaning towards that, but we'll see what happens. So their hardware is softening. They had a 13.51% of calculated loss in hardware sales year over year. With PS5 hardware, 18.5 million versus 16 million this year. So it's dropping. And clearly, I mean, it's just two price increases over the course of the fiscal year. That is rough. Like, we've never seen this happen. Consoles don't go up in price mm-hmm. during as they get older, right? There's always a reduction in price because they revise the hardware, they do deductions, whatever. This never happened. So we're in a weird situation, you know, and we know what's going on with the AI shit, the data centers, the RAM, all this stuff has really screwed things up. So they're suffering because of that, but they made their decision, but they're going to have to do something to offset it, right? And the only way to add value here, if you cannot cut your prices down, if you can't keep your people cut of your hardware and you're not willing to take a loss in it, the only thing you can do to add value is to give them software that they're going to play, right? Mm-hmm. So Sony really needs to turn around the first party stuff. Now, they'll have a couple of windfalls this year in non-first party because GTA 6 is coming out. And so one of the main places that'll probably be played is PlayStation. So they'll and that might boost, Tony's favorite value, monthly active users, goes up because people be jumping on, right? You need PS Plus to play GTA 6. If there's a GTA 6 online, I'm sure there'll be some sort of online component or something. So there'll probably be a boost in that and a boost in active users where Sony will have an opportunity to sell them and they get a cut of DLC, digital sales, all that stuff. So that will do well for them. But other than that, they are sort of leaning on the fact that they're the place to play on in terms of consoles. You can't just rely on that. You have to have strong third parties. And we've seen that time after time, we're constantly talking about Soros is the next one. Another flop. What did they got down the road? Horizon Hunter Gatherers? That's dead on arrival.
Game of the year, you know?
Yeah. No, that's fair games.
Fail games, you mean.
Right. The Mega Cat made 2D Ghost God of War. I haven't heard anything about that. And it's probably flopped. So this is not good, right? If you had wins on all fronts for Sony, that would put them in a much stronger position to handle losses in hardware. But as it stands now, their predictions for the 2026 forecast, as you can see here, they're predicting an overall 6% decrease in net sales for PlayStation. And the main reason is decrease in hardware sales. Due to a decrease in unit sales, that means that they're expecting to take such a hit on hardware, like a tremendous hit, that it's going to drop sales that significantly. Not only that, like when they take a hit like that, when the Sony segment takes a hit like that, the PlayStation segment, excuse me, Sony feels it. So let me go up. I'll show you the forecast chart. You see this? This is net sales for Sony as overall company. 1% decline.
Shit.
Decrease in sales in games and networks, network services segment. That's PlayStation. That alone will even if there's, and they expect windfalls in Sony music and pictures, they expect a boost in those segments. Even with a boost in those segments, even with the image and sensors licensing selling going up, PlayStation takes a hit, the whole company takes a hit. That's how big it is. That's how important it is, right? So that's significant. But with that said, that's not it's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh, PlayStation's falling apart. Oh, they're taking all these losses. As a matter of fact, if you look at how badly some of the first-party titles I've mentioned performed. Now, Soros is going to be part of this upcoming, Q1 this year going forward. It's not part of this report. But the other titles are, you have to... They seem to be eating these first-party losses. And again, because they have such powerful third-party support, and their network users, their monthly active users, their PlayStation Plus subscriptions. Network services is doing so well for them that they aren't learning the lesson that their first party stuff is just trash and is failing over and over again. So that's going to come back to bite them. I don't know when, But it has to, because like I don't know how you can keep going like that.
Yeah, no, it's unsustainable.
Wasn't there a comment that somebody made at Sony about this recently?
Was there? I didn't read the Q&A call.
Oh, okay. About it being an empty box.
Oh, that was the VP. Yeah, that was a VP at Sony saying that it's basically an empty plastic box or something like that.
Shit. Yeah, VP at Sony saying that.
So, I mean, he's not wrong, because it's like they are not producing the content to really satisfy the gaming sphere. It's really coming from everyone else. They're really leaning on, it's like, oh, the place to play Resident Evil Requiem is PlayStation. If you're on console, and the place to play Call of Duty is PlayStation. These are all third-party things, right? And that's great for them, because it's keeping their network services numbers up. But you have to give people a reason to buy the system, and the way you do that is not because of Call of Duty or Resident Evil, because it's multi-platform. The way you do that is with exclusives and first-party titles. And Soros ain't it. Marathon ain't it. And you've had failure after failure, and you're going to have failures. Horizon Hunter Gatherers is not it. You know, that'll make people sell their system before.
Right. You don't want that trash anywhere near it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll close out with this. Like, they're looking at a decrease in stuff. You're looking at a downturn. Now, it is a transition year, because I'm thinking probably 2027 we're going to start talking about PlayStation 6 in some way, shape, or form. So you have a transition period. And there's always downturns in transition period, but this downturn is more than that, because it's being caused artificially outside of things with memory prices and stuff causing the console prices to go up. So they have a few things to contend with. You have to course correct your development. You got to get your studios under control. And you have to start making quality titles again. And I don't know how you do that. I would think get your freaking headquarters out of California and put it back in Japan.
Yeah.
I would say that. That would be my main piece of advice. And maybe things will start correcting for the better. By the way, real quick,
Chris, I want to read this. So the headline is from Insider Gaming. Sony CEO calls PlayStation, quote, a plastic box without content, end quote. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think what he means is just their content, like their stuff. Like, it's like you look at Nintendo, and they do have some third party support. They're mainly supporting themselves, right? That's the draw, is the first party stuff. And I'll get into that when I do their numbers, right? They're not leaning on third party so much as Sony is. Sony is completely now leaning on third party support. The numbers just keep reiterating non first party. Windfalls, right? But that's all coming from other publishers and other developers. It's not coming from you. So you got to do something. So I'm afraid, I'm kind of worried, because they're doing well enough in this report that I don't think that lesson's going to be learned until they start hurting. And the only way that's going to happen is if they don't have third party, let's say something like Steam Machine comes along and starts pulling people away from PlayStation, and people start, and their monthly active users drops. This is the only way they're going to learn anything, unless they start course correcting now. But I don't know. I don't run anything. I'm not making any decisions. I'm just reading numbers.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment. Any last thoughts on this before we jump over to Nintendo?
No, those are my last thoughts. Yeah. They're looking at a downturn, but I don't. It's not anything bad. They seem to have really have dug in people, and 125 million monthly active users as of this last quarter is nothing to sneeze at. And I only see that number going up, especially as we get closer to the holidays and we get closer to GTA. Those numbers are probably going to go up. So they're going to ride out this hardware losses pretty well.
Interesting. But we did see a loss because the console prices, you know, it had to have an effect, and it obviously did.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right, man, good stuff there. Let's move over to Nintendo. Let's see how they're doing.
All right, so Nintendo is actually doing quite well. So they, year over year, and remember, this last fiscal year, has only had about 10 months of Switch 2 sales, right? Yeah. for the whole year, but they've managed to sell, I think, over 19 million units of Switch 2.
Holy shit.
Let me see if I can get the exact number.
Damn, I didn't realize it was that high. Fuck.
19.86 million units. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's significant for not even a full year of sales. That's huge. So they've done very well. They're actually, their consolidated net sales year over year from last fiscal year to now has doubled. I think they were looking at 7.3 billion US dollars last year, and they're up to 14.6 billion this year. So yeah, that's a 98.56%. I pretty much doubled it. That is a
look huge at those bars, bro. Fuck, like, because the blue bar is like last year, right?
Let me just see. Oh, Excel. No. What did I do? Yeah, these are, so I have regional sales over here.
Wow. And, okay, see, so, Alex, I see what it is. So America is blue and then orange is the rest of the world, right? If I'm reading that correctly?
This is last year.
Okay, and America. Then this year. Okay, so I read it right the first time. Yeah, that's like fucking double. Jesus.
But yeah. So the question is that also, do you think that the price drop that they did specifically in Japan was also a factor?
Well, you could, if you look at the regional sales overall for Japan versus America, we doubled their their sales, right? Japan's a smaller region than you know, Europe and America, right? So you have the lion's share of those sales.
Yeah.
But in fact, the year-over-year change of kind of regional sales in Japan more than doubled.
Wow.
So I think that price is it has helped, but also they did something very smart. Just before this report, just before the close of this report, they had already announced in Japan that the price was going to increase at the end of May, right? So what happened? There was a run on systems in Japan. They had a last-minute boost in sales because people wanted to get the system at the low price. So, and we've all said this, you know, Annie, you've said this, whatever. Nintendo doesn't sell anything at a loss. They were just had a marginal profit in Japan. They were selling the system for roughly what would be $340 US, right, over there. What we pay, $449 for the base system and then $499 with the pack-in, which was Mario Kart World. That's why Mario Kart World has such a high attach rate. I think they said it had 14.7 million units sold. So I'm sure some of that is people purchasing it, but a lot of that was pack-in, people buying the bundle. So that's why it has a high attach rate. And it's probably going to be like the Switch all over again. What was the highest selling game on the Switch was Mario Kart 8. So it seems like that trend is continuing now with this new one. But the where was it? I lost my train of thought.
Oh no! Like, we're talking about Japan sales versus U.S. sales.
Right. The price hike announcement, and they did very very clever key timed announcements just before this report came out to get that last minute boost. The Star Fox thing was just for the investors. That was just like, hey, look, we're reviving Star Fox. Look at this. You know, that came out like what, a week before, 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
And then the price hike announcement, especially for Japan, because Japan's price hike is the end of this month. And then for the other regions, for Europe and us, it's early September.
Very interesting that they announce it months in advance, right? Boost. That's a perfect way to boost those sales.
Right, yeah, because people want to get in under the wire. Now, there is the caveat that they have, even with these tremendous numbers, they have a conservative prediction for sales going forward into the next fiscal year. And it's kind of confusing to talk about, like, Sony... and them use different years for their fiscal year. It's like, I gotta keep them straight because talking about them back to back, I'm like, realize that, God damn it, you guys don't use the same years. so for this next coming fiscal year, which they're counting as fiscal year 2027, right, is they're saying that they're projecting 16.5 million Switch 2s sold in that time frame. So that's less than what they've sold now. So they attribute to the downturn the price increase, right? That's baked into that prediction. They're saying we're probably going to sell less units. We'll have strong software showings. Strong is depending on, you know, what you think. They have a new Pokemon coming out and, all that. But their predictions are downturn. So here you can see 19.86 million units so far lifetime as of this report for the Switch 2. The Switch had, significant downturn in sales, 3.8 million for the fiscal year. But the Switch is... I mean, it's basically at the end of its life. They said they're going to continue to support the Switch. I think they have 3 or 4 games planned. I'm trying to remember. There's like Rhythm Heaven or whatever. They're kind of unremarkable titles to continue support. So I really didn't pay attention. To me, it's like the Switch is basically done. As long as you could keep the lights on in the eShop, I guess I'll give them credit for that, because they usually just to boot it to the curb. This interesting anomaly in the the showing of their top unit sellers for the system. And I pointed out when I did the 9-month financials last time that there's this odd square here. If you can see this here, they did it again. They put Pokemon Z to A in both slots, right?
Yeah, and that's right. They did it again.
They did again, and what the problem is, what was supposed to be there was Metroid Prime 4. They don't put in things that don't break a million sold. So it obviously didn't break a million in either system. It was on both. So they ended up just sticking Pokemon twice on here, and it's very confusing because one of them doesn't have a bar, so the 8.85 million units would be for the Switch, which they forgot to put the bar up here, and then the 3.94 million is for the Switch 2 sales. So their projections for next year, like I said, is taking a loss on taking lower hardware sales. They do have some titles. What was their announcement? I know also I think Miyamoto just put out the other day that they pushed up the release date for the Zelda movie.
Yeah.
So they're trying to promote the IP stuff. Their video content, the visual content, they're trying to boost that because they had a loss in that part, even though the Mario movie just came out, so I was kind of surprised at that. But I think they don't, the problem is with the movie releases, they have to have some sort of cadence, right? You can't release a movie and then like wait 2 years, right? Because you have a report every year, so you're gonna have drop. Yeah, and but you have production cost. If you have multiple things in production, which they claim to have, there was a claim that Illumination was working on some other Donkey Kong movie, and then you had Zelda in production with Sony, and now they're saying that there's a Star Fox movie in production. So it's like you have these production costs, but you have to release with some sort of cadence so you can make up those costs. So I'm thinking that they're going to start lighting fires and trying to get stuff released that are at a more regular pace on the in terms of the movies. Let's see. Let me get to...
There was also one thing while you're getting to that. They said that they have, quote-unquote, some surprises for this fall. What do you make of that?
Either they're trying to get ahead of those leaks, which I kind of believe the leaks to be valid, since one of them was that there was a Star Fox game, and then they announced a Star Fox game, which is basically, another version of Star Fox 64. But the leaks also said there was another Star Fox game. There was going to be two. So we'll see. So there's surprises for everybody who hasn't paid attention to the leaks. This is what they're officially announcing in this report coming out. So you can see Yoshi has a game coming out at the end of this month. Then there's Star Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week. The Star Fox, that was the direct last week. July, there's a new Splatoon game. I don't know anything about Splatoon. I never played it, so... there's a Fire Emblem game, and there's Pokemon Winds and Waves. So, they'll probably give a bigger direct about Pokemon either this summer or the fall. And I think what I've heard about this game is probably it's going to have a larger map. It's probably exclusive to the Switch too. I don't think it's going to be on the Switch. It's going to be a Switch 2 exclusive. I think they're going to have a bigger map, and they're going to stop with the route stuff and have more open world. So we'll see. That's, again, grain of salt. That's just what I'm hearing.
Real quick, Young Savage, you missed the Sony financials. We did those already. He's like, yo, get to the Sony stuff. We did that already, brother.
I started with Sony. Yeah,
Chris did a whole layout of Sony, so we have to rewind the episode. But we did it already. Anyway, so here's the third-party games that are coming to Switch 2. Pragmata, Indiana Jones, Tales of Arise, Final Fantasy VII, some football game.
Football.
Yeah, Pragmata Pragmata's already out. Indiana Jones is already
Yes, it
out,
is, so yeah. Tales of Arise is next, May 22nd. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I think that says, June 3rd. Football, June 3rd. Elliot, June 18th. Some fucking game I can't read. July 9th. Cult Sep Saga? They're bringing that shit back.
Hey, I guess.
Yeah, Cult Sep Begins, July 17th. 007.
Yeah,
007. Yeah. No dates for these. Just summer.
Summer,
Summer first. Orbitals. Village in the Shade in Autumn, and some horse shit I can't read.
Professor Layton game, okay. Yeah.
There you go.
No Dust Bloods?
No, I didn't see it on there. Yeah, we didn't see it.
Anyway, yeah, continue, Bruce. Let me see where... Okay, so here's the forecast for next year. It says, for Switch 2, sales were more concentrated in the launch year comparison to previous hardware systems, reflecting... we expect fiscal year 2027 sales units to decline year over year. Even so, we believe this representable. It's all fluff anyway. They're forecasting a downturn in the place this is actually explained is if you read the Q&A from the investor call, which they get to that it's the price increase, right? I had to read that report. I was like, I hate reading the Q&A because it's full of so much fluff. It'll be an investor saying, so you predicted that in the fiscal year, you're going to lose this. Well, how does that affect us? You know, and then they'll be like, thank you for your question. Nintendo is so focused on, and then you have to read through all this nonsense. And then finally they're like, okay, there it is, the prices. Yeah. So anyway, it's basically they're up in the price. They expect a downturn in sales, even with, that they're going to have a regular cadence of software launches, and I'm sure by Summer Games Fest and summer and fall, we'll find out more of what they have launching. I mean, maybe there's a Mario game coming. I would assume that they have to have a big title coming sometime soon, because their releases right now have not been their heavy hitters. Like, it's not Zelda, it's not Mario, right? They had a Donkey Kong game, they had a Metroid game. And they have Pokemon, and, you know, as usual, Pokemon's, like, just carrying everything on its shoulders. But, you know, like a Yoshi game is not really a system seller. Animal Crossing would be. So they have New Horizons release probably help. But, and Star Fox will help, you know, I think, even though it's, like, the fourth version of, Starbuck, right? That people are excited, like, you know, and... It helps that he was in the movie. And I will say this. Thankfully, they listened to Illumination because apparently, according to an interview I saw with Miyamoto talking about the inclusion of him in the movie, he didn't want him in the movie. He only allowed them to use Pikmin as the kind of Easter egg that Pikmin were going to show up in the movie. And Illumination talked him into it, showed him the concepts, whatever, and he relented. And thank God he did, because that was, like, he was a big part of the movie. And that now you, and then, I mean, come on. You were releasing a Star Fox game and you had a tie-in that these guys were pu- pushing for you to put in the movie. They messed up. You weren't going to do it?
Yeah.
So you almost messed up because that sounds like something stupid that they would do, but they actually, Illumination won out and he's in the movie. So that actually worked out for them.
Wow.
So yeah, everybody's, you know, for different reasons, they're both doing very well. The Switch 2 has done very well. It's going to have a downturn. Again, they're having the same problem. Sony, I just explained this with the Sony report. The price is too damn high. The sales are going to suffer for it. But Nintendo is supporting their system, unlike Sony, which I'm worried about, but it's not affecting them yet. But Nintendo is supporting their hardware with first party and second party support, which is very good. And I'm hoping that they make some big announcements to boost that, and that maybe they can offset some of this. Maybe the hardware sales won't be that, and they'll revise it upwards. So as I keep reading these reports, I'll see the revisions and see if they either downscale this, if it's worse than they thought, or if they upscale it. I'm not being negative. Everybody's like, you hate Nintendo. No, I'm hoping that they do well because they're actually supporting it. This is what I just read with the Sony reports, and what was pissing me off while I was doing these, preparing this for the show, was that I'm like, Sony's not learning anything from this with the first party. You're making trash, right? Yep. And it's pissing me off that it's like, but you're doing so well at the same time, so you're not learning anything. And that's it. So this is very frustrating. Anyway, my TLDR for that, both Sony and Nintendo are doing very well for different reasons, but they are both doing well. So I look forward to seeing what happens, because this year is going to be a little rough for both of them on the hardware side.
There you go, man. Yeah, it's interesting. So again, imagine if Sony actually put effort, you know, how much better they could be if they actually put effort. This just reminds me of, you know, Frieza from Dragon Ball Z. It's like, apparently, you know, they retcon it's like basically he never trained a day in his life. And then when he actually started training, he became even better. So it's like, imagine what Sony could do if he actually did something, man.
Oh, you stupid monkeys.
Exactly.
Yeah, referring to Dragon Ball Super. It's like, you know, like they met. It's like, hey, you know, Trevisa, you never trained in your life. What if you actually trained? You know? And he's already badass, right? Interesting stuff, man. So thanks for that, Chris. Good stuff. Although, hope you're not worn out of talking yet, because the next story we're going to talk about, I want your thoughts on. Remember the whole eBay, GameStop trying to buy eBay situation? Yes. So this is, what I'm going to read right now is coming directly from eBay itself. Okay. From eBay itself. This is to, the guy, Ryan Cohen, who's the owner of GameStop. Dear Mr. Cohen, the board, with the support of its independent advisors, has thoroughly reviewed your proposal and has determined to reject it. We have determined that your proposal is neither credible nor attractive. Again, this is from eBay itself. We have taken into account such factors as 1, eBay standalone prospects, 2, the uncertainty regarding your financial proposal, 3, the impact of your proposal on eBay's long-term growth and profitability, 4, the leverage, operating risk, and leadership structure of a combined entity, and 5, the resulting implications of these factors on valuation, and 6, GameStop's governance and executive incentives. eBay is a strong, resilient business that has delivered meaningful results over the past several years. We have sharpened our strategic focus, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, basically said it's like, you know, this unsolicited, we don't want your bullshit. Get the fuck out of here. You can't afford us. You broke motherfucker, you know? So yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Chris? Because, you know, we had a nice discussion on this when this thing originally popped up.
Well, yeah, this is hilarious, because this is exactly what I was thinking when I was talking about the market cap difference with between GameStop and eBay. eBay's market cap is like 10 times what GameStop's is. And usually I said, wouldn't the merger and acquisition be the other way around? Wouldn't eBay just take GameStop, not the other way around? And so this letter is just while it's all corporate speak, it's a giant insult to GameStop's whole corporate structure and this whole ploy of trying to buy eBay. I mean, just when they list like, oh, our standalone prospects, meaning that every factor of eBay they think is more credible than GameStop's business structure. The uncertainty regarding your financial proposal, exactly what I was saying. I was like, you have $25 billion unaccounted for in this purchase. Where are you going to get it from? The Saudis? Like, no assets. And you were going to sell stock? Your stock is volatile as hell. There's no way they're going to take that. So there's that. The impact of your proposal on eBay's long-term growth and profitability. Exactly. Cohen was talking about turning eBay into their own version of Amazon, which was like...
horseshit. Yeah.
Yeah. Leverage operational risk and leadership structure. Obviously, it's a thing that we have our shit tight and you guys are floundering. So, you know, what would that merger look like? What would it look like? Yeah, and the implications of these factor on valuations, basically, merging with you would bring down the value of eBay, GameStop's governance, and executive incentives. Basically saying your leadership is sucks.
Again, that intro is the part that gets me, man. Your proposal is neither credible nor attractive.
Yeah, I think that eBay had enough of all the speculation. They were probably getting asked, so they had to put out this, like, finally, like, they're probably going to ignore it. Like, this guy can't be serious. And then they were getting questions about it, probably guys, like, coming from CNBC and all this stuff. It's like, oh, is GameStop going to buy you? And they're like, all right, we're just going to just squash this immediately. Put out an official statement. Get with the board quickly. We're not doing this, right? No. Okay, put out a statement. And that's it. I love it. Like, the third paragraph explaining how eBay has sharpened its focus. This is a complete insult to GameStop. It's like, these are all the things we have done right over the years that you have done wrong. Like, everything here is like a jab at GameStop. So I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. What a joke that was, man.
And we're not a pawn shop.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be. They're basically saying, we don't want to be a pawn shop. Get out of here.
It's hilarious. All right, good stuff there. This is very interesting, especially if you're, a fighting game fan. So, you know, we reported on Harada leaving Tekken after like 30 years or something with that franchise. And, you know, like many people, we kind of just assumed like, all right, you know, probably got to take a little break, maybe retire, who knows? Nope, he did the unexpected. He's joining SNK to make a new fighting game studio. So it's like, wait, what? So like the implications are nuts. It's like, is Harada going to make a 2D game or... is he going to make a 3D game?
It's going to be a 3D game. It's going to be a 3D game because they don't have one.
They don't. Well, you know, they don't.
Got to have something. They have them,
but they don't have one.
It's been like, what, 25 years since they made a 3D game? And it was not good, you know?
Did you see who the other people are going with, Harada?
Yeah, it's like he's getting a bunch of his Tekken buddies there.
A bunch of the people that made the Tekken games. So who the fuck is left there?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up because that, you know, for you guys who've been keeping track, Tekken 8 is not in a good state. Like, they really fucked up bad with that game. Even though I enjoy the game, the problem was they made a bunch of promises to the community that they completely turned their back on. You know, like, for example, people didn't like the balance of the game initially, and they promised, we're going to bring it back to more old-school Tekken, and they did the complete opposite. Like, even more aggressive gameplay. And every single time, like, this is it. This is the patch that's going to make it go back to the way you want. The game goes in a completely different direction. So I think, Manny, that's why those guys are leaving. They're like, you know what? Not dealing with this shit. We like Harada. Let's go with this guy. Of course, the only unfortunate thing here is we're not going to see this game for a very long time. You know,
give it 4 to 5 years. That's about the and this and also the thing is that you're dealing with a situation where they don't have pre-existing games
to exactly
base something off of.
Nothing. So,
they're coming at it. But I mean, here's the thing, like, I feel like I think also this is a good thing for him on his side, because he doesn't need to be a fucking steward anymore. He can make his own game as opposed to just, hey, look, I'm just doing another number in the Tekken saga.
Yeah, you're right. He could build something from the ground up. And the studio is called, I think it's Versus Studio. Versus Studio SNK. And they gave a bunch of, like, reasons of what Versus stands for. Dude, Versus for fighting game. Let's just be honest.
So you're going to be making fighting games. You're not going to be making, a first-person shooters.
Yeah, you're going to be making fighting game. And, yeah, I hope it is a 3D fighting game, because not only do we need more of those in general, but SNK could use one for sure. Either if it's a new franchise or an old one. And I'll say this, man. You know how I'm not happy with the fucking Saudis owning SNK, but these motherfuckers are putting money into this company. They really are. You know, they're putting a bunch of cool shit into City of the Wolves. You know, Harada's probably getting paid nicely, you know, for this. So that's one of the good things about these evil bastards running SNK. They're putting money into it, you know?
We'll see how this pans out. You know, maybe there'll be even more soccer players in this one.
Right? Salvador Ganachi's going to be in it, you know? He'll be the lead character.
They're going to choose some other, you know, Saudi, what do you call it? Some sort of other Saudi personality that they have over there, you know?
Yeah, right. So we'll see. But shout out to Harada. You know, the guy's a legend. And really, he does really good tweets. I really enjoyed his tweets when what's his face? Oh my, why forget his name?
Itagaki passed away.
He had some really good tweets there. And I also believe, you know, this is just my conspiracy theory. I think part of him leaving Bandai Namco was because of Itagaki. He's like, you know what? I should do something more with my life, you know?
You don't need like this. Well, I think there's actually a really good interview with the creator of BioShock. And he was saying, like, you know, and this sort of goes with this, where a franchise can also kind of trap you, right?
Yeah.
Where, in other words, if you're just continuing to do the same thing, more and more. Yeah, he sort of said that's they had this. That was the sort of like main comment that they sort of highlighted, that, like, yeah, we're a franchise, an established franchise can also trap
you. Today, I'm excited to announce our next GPU in the family.
Sort of renown, attention. Yeah. So I think, you know, at some point you have to have something that you created. I mean, granted, Ken did create BioShock, and he, you know,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's like I think it's for the best for Harada to do that. I do wish that it was on his own doing that, but if these guys are willing to pay for him, you know, pay for whatever the hell he wants to do, I guess you know it's an opportunity, so go for it.
Yeah, no, I'm down with it. By the way, quick apology, because this already happened twice during the show. I hate fucking autoplay videos, man. There's already been twice where I'm looking, I have a story open and it fucking starts autoplaying some shit. So apologies to whoever listened to that. Although you did get a preview of our final story. I wish I could do this on for you guys live, but I can at least say I have done it and it is true. A fun Easter egg came out about the Steam controller. If you drop it enough times, it does the Wilhelm scream, you know, from that you've heard in movies a million times.
It's from a specific height too. It's like,
yeah,
it's
3 feet.
So remember, it's like from a specific height, and yeah, you throw it down on something and it makes the Wilhelm.
Yeah. So I brought the controller over to the studio today and we tried it, and yes, it's real. And it's random, right? Sometimes, like, one time it happened to us after the third drop, and then another time it's like after 10 drops. My question is, like, the guy who originally discovered this, it must have been by accident. How many times did you, like, how clumsy are you? Because this is something that would naturally happen. Insane. What happened, Brett?
Brett, like, you had to sit there for like 30 minutes being like, but did that really just, like, I need to check to see if that's going to happen now.
Yeah. No, but Brett, I'm wondering, how did he get to the point where it got to scream in the first place? Like, he had to have dropped it at least 3 times. Which makes me question how clumsy he was.
So here's the thing. I don't know if it has a counter inside.
Maybe he dropped it once, you know?
Maybe that's what it was. In the initial after opening it, he dropped it once and then it did it.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense to me. And then you're right, he was like, wait, did I just hear that? Did I just hear that? And then he starts dropping it.
Then he drops it a bunch more. So yeah, it may have some sort of counter. I think maybe it may be when you first unbutton it, it does it like right away. But then
it took us three times the first time around.
Yeah. That would be something for somebody to figure out when they get their how many. It's like the licking the Tootsie Pop. How many licks does it take for the Steam controller to scream?
Yeah, I would assume it's different times for different people. You know, because for us it was three times. The controller's never been dropped. You know, and I'm assuming the first person who figures out probably dropped it once. It's like, wait, did I hear that? Like he's asking his girlfriend, "Yo, you have a movie playing in the background or something?" No. And Dan's like, was it the controller? He must have been bugging the fuck out, trying to figure that out. Like, what the fuck? Oh, man. Yeah, I know, Young Savage, like the fucking YouTube shit just started autoplaying. It's hilarious, bro. But yeah, again, Valve is awesome. I love that little thing. Now my question is, are people going to start dropping their Steam machines to figure out if it screams? No. Don't drop that shit. You know, that's going to be $1,000. Don't drop that fucking console, bro.
At least the rumors, right, that it's going to be
$1,000? The rumors are saying anywhere between like $699 and $899. Probably going to be more, in my opinion. Mm. But we shall see. And with that, we are done here. So let's start wrapping it up. Let's start up plugging some stuff. I will plug some stuff, even though I'm going to be coy about it because I can't talk about it yet. Although I believe I could say one thing. I have played Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced, and that's all I can say. I have played it, so stay tuned for more. And next week, I will also give you my full review of another game. I can't tell you what that is, but I will say, and this is your clue, it doesn't take the world's greatest detective to figure out what that could be, you know? And with that, Rich, what do you have coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Hey, I must say that was a very clever segue. Very, very good teaser. Yes, yes. So I will say, if you are into horror movies, you need to go see that movie Obsession. I actually did a review of that with Dana, which will be up on the website and on the Coalition Entertainment channel tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. Aside from that, with the gaming stuff, there are a couple of things coming out in the future. That I will be covering on the Coalition Gaming as well as the Coalition website. So stay tuned for that. And lastly, shout out to our very good friend, Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. These guys are incredibly busy. Your boy Adam is covering every show that has ever existed. So I definitely recommend showing him support over at the TV Terminal YouTube as well as thecoalition.com.
Good stuff. Man, you got anything? You're muted.
No, I don't have any. I have just some things in the pipeline, which see eventually. Pretty cool things. That's all I can really say about that. But let's see. There is one thing that's happening tomorrow. Ooh. It's my birthday. It's actually my birthday right now.
It's actually now. I was going to save that for later, but yes, it is your birthday.
Oh, come on.
It's your birthday.
Yeah. me from the past, you can't believe that shit. How old are you? Like 20, what was that, 24? 42?
Yeah, right. Good stuff.
So yeah, that's what's going on in the streets. Nothing big going on. You know, still playing games tomorrow. It'll be a fun day.
Yeah, everybody go wish Manny happy birthday. You know, good stuff.
Happy birthday, Manny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
There you go, man. Another year older. You know, cumpleaños. You know,
cumpleaños.
Hey. All right, man. We're out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, join the Discord, and check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez, the birthday boy.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Munjoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys. We shall return on Sunday. Start getting them questions in. Although some of you have already been getting questions in, so shout out to you. But keep getting them more in. Anyway, we'll We'll see you then.
Yeah.
Later.
Later.